Romans chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice, everybody say practice, hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. How many of you remember a couple of weeks ago I spoke to our congregation on sacrificial fellowship? How sometimes it's a sacrifice to take time to fellowship with each other. If you missed it, it's available. You can find it in just an audio podcast kind of a version on our website. You can click on, go to YouTube, and you can find it at our YouTube channel, and you can re-listen to it. I felt like it was worth hearing again. If you haven't heard it the first time, for the first time, it's worth hearing, and you can find it at BethelDefiance.com. In that message, we were looking at Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 15 and 16, and one of the interesting things about that was that we got to talk from there about a Greek word, koinonia. Some of you may remember that now. It may ring a bell because that's an interesting sounding word, and it's the Greek word for fellowship. Connection, relationship. God wants us to connect with others, and he wants us to build relationships with others. In verse 16 of that text, it says to share with others. And I pointed out to you in that message that the word share is actually the word koinonia. So when we hang out, we connect with others, and then it goes on to say, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. There are times when we're not thinking of it, we're having so much fun. Usually, like, for example, wise guys. The wise guys get together. We'll be getting together this Wednesday. And we meet at McDonald's and we have a pop. And I don't know, maybe it is a little bit of a sacrifice sometimes to get in the car and drive to McDonald's. And I pay $1.07 for water, actually, because I don't drink a lot of pop anymore because I try to avoid caffeine like the plague, and I especially am not drinking as much pop as I used to because of the fizziness that's in it, because I found out the fizziness affects my voice in a negative way. So I've cut down on the pop, and my voice has gotten easier to control when I'm singing or doing other things. So I just take along a little squirt bottle of tea that has lemon in it, and I squirt it into the cup of water. So why am I paying $1.07 for a cup of water? Well, because I feel awkward if I go in there and I ask for water, and then they come by the table later and they see dark color in the water. It's like, oh yeah, that was that guy that asked for water, and then he went and got to the fountain and got a pop. And I don't want anybody thinking that I'm doing that. So I just rather pay for it. It's just not. But you know, so I used to buy a pop all the time though, and you know, get the big one. And then you can get as many refills as you want, free real refills. You know, I drink three of them while the guys were talking, and then I go home and have to go to the bathroom the rest of the day. So anyway, I like that. And so I enjoy getting together with the guys. Some days there are things in the back of my mind. Anybody ever have that happen? Stuff I want to do. Some days I have forgotten completely that the guys were meeting and not showing up. But I really like it when I get to go, and even if it's a little bit of a sacrifice, it turns out to always be worth it. It's always good hanging out with the guys. So if you want to come out and hang out with the wise guys, we used to say 55 and up, but age doesn't matter anymore. You can come. Just join us if you want to. So we saw that the word share in that Hebrews text was koinonia. And oddly enough, in today's text here in Romans, again, koinonia is also translated share. We are encouraged to enter into a koinonia experience with the saints who are in need. That one wasn't so much about need, although it was translated that way. This one is more about need, that there are people who have needs. And so in the message 2 weeks ago, we talked about the idea that sometimes it's easier to share, as in just give, shove something at someone with God's people or with people who are in need, than it is to connect with those who have the needs. How many of you know, sometimes it's like, oh, I don't want to hear about it. Just here, take $10. Sometimes it's easier to hand somebody money if they're hungry than it is to go sit down and have a meal with them. And I'm not saying you always have to have a meal with them, but there are opportunities to sit down with people. And so that connection thing is a big deal. And it actually, if you just give and you don't connect, you realize you can make it worse. Let me give you an example. What if you give somebody $20 instead of connecting with them? They take the $20 that was supposed to be for food or gas or whatever, but they change their mind because they see their favorite dealer on the street corner on their way to go get something to eat, and they decide they're going to buy something from that. Check, check, check. Oh, it's that switch. Yeah. Okay. So back to what I was saying. So they see their favorite dealer on their way to the cafe. They never make it to the cafe. They stop by their favorite dealer. They take a little something from their favorite dealer. It just happens to be loaded with something that was really bad for them, like fentanyl. How many of you have heard of the problems we're having with fentanyl? Just a little bit of that can kill you. Well, the dealer had too much of it in whatever it was he sold, and the person dies. That would be an extreme example of us giving instead of connecting, and ended up causing more trouble than if we had connected. What would you rather do? Know that you gave somebody the money to go and overdose when you could have taken them out and eat instead? If I knew that the money I was giving somebody was going to cause them to overdose, I would not want to give them money. I would want to go take them down and say, here's a steak, eat it. I'd rather pay $30 for a really good meal than give them $5 and have them lose their life. How many feel like that? That'd be true of you, right? So we want to be a blessing to others. And I think that this idea of being a blessing to others has some really amazing opportunities in it. God gives us opportunities to start, but a lot of times the best start is right there in fellowship, in that koinonia. And share that with others who believe that's a good place to practice. We're doing it here right now. We practice. How many times have I said Sunday morning is practice time? We're the opposite of the NFL. We practice on Sunday and we play the game all week long. It's a good thing. So we're told here that we can practice hospitality also. Isn't that interesting? When you think of hospitality, you usually tend to think of inviting someone back to your place, don't you? Yeah, that's what I think of. We have somebody over, a lot of times we have them or take them out to eat or do something with them. A lot of times it surrounds food, and that is part of it. But it's interesting when you look at the word for hospitality. How many of you have ever heard of the town Philadelphia? The word for hospitality is Philoxenia. How many have ever heard of the town Xenia? You cross Philadelphia and Xenia and you end up with Philoxenia. What is the reason for Philadelphia's name? What's it? City of brotherly love. Does anybody know what a zinnia is? That's a good one. Some of us remember that. Some of us weren't alive yet even. There was a bad tornado went through zinnia. You know what zinnia means? Anybody know? It's a flower. Do you know what the flower is actually being called if you called it the same thing in English? The word zinnia means stranger or little stranger. Xenia means stranger. Philoxenia means brotherly love toward strangers. Now see, this works perfectly in this congregation because we have stranger people than probably any congregation in town. So when you're friendly and you have brotherly love towards some of the people in this room, you are really, some of them are really strange. Well, that's not what it really means. Not that kind of strange. When we were kids, we were taught not even to talk to strangers, weren't we? So we have this tendency in our culture that kind of runs against the tendency they had in that culture, because in that culture, it was really regular, even normal, to entertain strangers, to be the one who welcomed somebody who came to town that nobody knew. And they would take them into their home, and they would. In fact, Jesus said, when you enter into a home, we'll talk about this again some other time. I don't want to get too many bunny trails going, but when you enter into someone's home, let your peace be on it, and eat whatever they put in front of you. And well, there's some stuff in that was just common, that people would take care of strangers. So what is practicing that look like? Well, first, you can practice on each other. And it's hospitality, it's caring about each other, it's connection, it's fellowship, it's relationship. All of those things that we have made a hallmark of our church for a long time now are part of what God wants us to do. And in the Hebrews chapter, remember, it said it was a sacrifice. Sometimes it is. But how many of you know that God's fire falls on a sacrifice? Therefore, when we make these sacrifices and connect to people, even some of whom we're not sure what to do with sometimes, but nevertheless, we practice it on each other, and then we get better at practicing it everywhere we go. Now, Paul goes on to say, in the second half of today's text, verse 14, bless those that persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Bless! There's a whole section where Jesus says, blessed are those. This is not that word this time. That's actually happy. Not that you won't be happy if you do this, but this word for bless is another Greek word that is the word eulogio. Anybody think you've ever heard any English word that we use that comes close to eulogio? Eulogy. So when we give a eulogy, it's usually after somebody's dead. Don't be eulogizing me until I'm dead. Well, actually, it's to speak well of somebody. That's what it literally means. To speak well of people. Or speak well to people. Speak good to people. It's the idea of good speaking. Good speaking. So sometimes we say good things to people. You guys, by the way, know more Greek than you thought you did, don't you? Isn't that interesting? Those words kind of jump out. I thought somebody would know that xenia meant stranger. I don't know how I knew that, but I knew that from a kid. I think it's because my mom liked to grow xenias, and they were little strangers. That's how she looked at them, little cute little flowers. So we speak well of and to other people. Is that easy? Speaking well of and to other people, is that easy to do? We were talking about gossip last week. Is it easier sometimes to speak poorly of people rather than to speak well of people? Sometimes it can be. I remember once, Joan will remember this. I think I've shared this story before, but we were having a little experience with the IRS. Remember the IRS experience? For months this went on. They would send a letter to the church and they would say, you didn't file something right. Joan would call them up. She would talk to somebody. They would say, oh yeah, they just do this and it'll be okay. She would do the this that they gave her to do, and then another letter would come a few months later. You know, you're still not, you know, you haven't fixed this. This needs to be fixed, blah, blah, blah. And they kept getting these letters. And how long was it? Was it almost 2 years? Over a year, yeah. And one day I come and she's got this letter from them saying they're going to attach our bank account or do something with our bank account. And it's like, she did everything right. And she said, maybe you should call them. Maybe they'll listen to a guy. And I said, well, you call them one more time and see if you can't get this straightened out. If you can't, then I'll call them. Because she understood what she was doing better than me. They could tell me what it was. I could try to tell her. By the time I tell her, we still do it wrong. So I was like, try it one more time. So she looked at me and she said, well, I guess I'll just have to call my friends down at the IRS, our friends down at the IRS. And after I left, it hit her, our friends at the IRS. And it was like, by faith, She started thinking of them as our friends at the IRS. And so she called them up, right? And you found somebody very friendly who passed you on to somebody else or something like that. They actually pass you to a department that protects people from the IRS. Isn't that interesting? The IRS has a department that protects people from the IRS, basically. Forget what it is. Kind of like customer service only. And she got the right person, and the person went through and helped her correct everything, gave you something to do, I think, right? And it was taken care of, and we never heard from them again. Our friends at the IRS. Now, I don't think any time that she called before, she was negative toward them, but it's hard not to get negative when they keep giving you the runaround. Anybody besides me ever have that experience? You know, you're getting the runaround, or the person on the other end doesn't seem like they know what they're doing. I'm just glad she got it straightened out, honestly. But we've all had to call customer service, haven't we? I mean, used to be you had to march into a store and talk to somebody. But now, in fact, sometimes now you can't even call. How many of you have run into that where there's no one to call? You just have to type something into your computer to complain, and then they type an email back to you, and you go back and forth. And but what if, when we contact customer service, it's actually the Holy Spirit giving us an opportunity to practice hospitality? Because see, when we call, we're usually already mad because something broke and we want somebody to fix it because it shouldn't be broke. What if when we call, we decide, like Joan decided that day, that maybe it was time for a divine appointment? What if every time we had some situation where there had to be a confrontation, we decided that it was a divine appointment? And instead of thinking confrontation, we were thinking connection. So imagine the worst call possible where the person's not even a help at all. What if, even if they don't fix it, you have an opportunity to bless them and not curse them? Now, we think of blessing and cursing, again, as, you know, some kind of scriptural word that we share with them, or, you know, may the fire of God fall. I've never cursed a customer service person. Well, what if the cursing and blessing here is just speak good to them rather than speak bad to them? What if we start finding ways to speak good to people? And here's what I've discovered. If I treat the person on the other end with brotherly love and look for ways to be appreciative of what they're doing and try to be encouraging, this weird thing happens. They start to treat me like I'm different. I am. No, I mean just different weird. I mean different from the calls they normally get. If you're on the other end of those calls, what are you bracing for? But if you or I, as a Christian, call with a heart of connection, encouragement, positivity, just speaking into their life, and by the way, if you get that idea going, the next thing you know, you might be prophesying to one of them. If you treat them special, I've discovered they'll start to treat you special, because you really are special if you're not already screaming by the time they pick up the phone. On the other hand, if I'm grumpy and negative, they may find it easier and even justifiable to persecute me. This person's nasty. I'm not going to help them. I'll just treat them the way they're treating me. Oh. What if connecting with them is a sacrifice that God is pleased with? You're worried about I had a problem with a microwave oven last year. I had to call in a whole bunch of times. I had so many ministry opportunities, so many more ministry opportunities than I really wanted. But I tried to stay positive with the people. Because how many of you know, it's not their fault anyway. Some poor person sitting on the other end of the phone in Georgia, and I'm talking to them, and I've got a microwave that won't work. And they're like, yeah, I can't even come and fix it, but we'll send somebody. It wasn't always that easy, and it took forever to get it done, but it finally happened. I just kept patience. I exercised patience. So maybe it's a sacrifice that God's well pleased with, and maybe it's an opportunity to demonstrate the kingdom of God by blessing people. So if I give them a hard time and I get frustrated with them, I might be actually assisting the devil, who Revelation 12:10 calls the accuser. You know, the devil doesn't need near as many demons as some people think he needs, because he's got some great Christians who will help him. Don't join the accuser. So, again, what kind of blessing can I bless with? Try being thankful. By the way, the easiest thing in the world for me to do is be thankful when I actually do get through to an actual person. And I've started just being so thankful. The second I hear a voice, I say, oh, I'm so glad to hear your voice. That's the first thing I say almost every time. If I have to get a hold of somebody and straighten a problem, it's so good to talk to somebody. Thank you. They're just like, oh, well, you're welcome. How can I help you today? They already have a better attitude toward me than if I had finally got a, well, it's about time somebody picked up this stupid thumb. You know, right away, they're ready to give me the stiff arm. And it makes them feel special. And then when I don't understand something, which a lot of times I don't, because what they just asked me to do doesn't make any sense. But I thank them for their patience and their understanding, and I ask them to explain it to me again. I've actually had people tell me something that they had to do, and when they explained it again, they said, that really isn't going to work, is it? Because they have a script in front of them that's been given to them, and they're supposed to solve the problem, but they're also supposed to stick to the script. When they realize the script is kind of not smart, then they start to actually think. If they actually think, then I tell them how amazing they are, how wonderful they are. And all of a sudden, they feel good about themselves because they're really helping and they want to help. I don't know anybody who would pick up a phone and want to screw up your day and make you miserable. Maybe there's a few out there, but I don't know anybody like that. And usually they don't last long in customer service. And even if things don't work out, but by the way, they usually do. They usually do work out, especially when I'm nice, when I'm a blessing person, when I'm connecting to them. I tell them thanks, and at the end, I try to compliment them on what they did do well, even if they couldn't get what I needed done. And lately, I've been launching into, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time today. And I just bless you in the name of Jesus. Just have a great day. May God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and give you peace. I've said that to people, and they're like, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. How many of you think most of their calls don't end with someone blessing them? And I haven't found anybody who didn't like being blessed. I'm sure at some point I'll say that to someone and they'll say, oh, just get off here, you religious nut. But they don't really want to say that at that point because they're happy that I'm getting off. You know, they're happy that the problem's solved if it is. And if the problem's not solved, they've probably told me I'll have someone else call you or you're going to have to wait a couple of days. You know, and if I treat them nicely, it's not what they normally get. And they just don't know what to do with that. Except be blessed. Listen to this from Jesus in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. But I tell you who are listening, love your enemies. Is the person on the other end of the phone your enemy? Probably not. But you're supposed to love the ones who really are your enemies. Do you have any people who really have a distaste for you and treat you badly? Sure, you probably have people who, for whatever reason, don't like you. I don't. Everybody loves me. No, it's not true. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. There it is again. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks of you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. That verse has been repeated by lots of people around the world for lots of history. But it has some really good context, doesn't it? Let's read on. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting anything back, and then your reward. How many people like rewards? I do too. And I'm not against heavenly rewards. I expect that I'm going to get some heavenly rewards, but I believe some of the heavenly rewards that we're expecting to get, God would like to have on earth as it is in heaven. He'd like us to start benefiting in the here and now. And in the scenario that I've been using this morning, the calling in to somebody who you usually are complaining to, if you can make them feel like you're not complaining and they can solve the problem and you both walk away feeling good, there's a reward built right into that. And I believe when we do what the Word of God says, the reward for doing that is built right into it every time. Your reward will be great, and you will be the children of the Most High. Wow. What if people just start recognizing us as, there's something about you. You're different in a really good way. You know, if they start seeing that, they're going to see God. If they start seeing God, then God has come near. If God has come near, then we're spreading the kingdom. If we're spreading the kingdom, then we're changing the world one person at a time. You will be children of the Most High because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Who's that that's kind to the ungrateful and wicked? The Lord. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. I'm not going to let any customer service agent, or as far as that goes, anyone out there, take away my reward. So what if I can bless instead of cursing? What if I can speak positively instead of negatively? What if I can do the right thing in the face of things that aren't really right? And it is a crazy world. And we need more people like this practicing their faith in life, or practicing, if you will, life, real life, not just living, but real life, eternal life. I focused on these phone calls today, you know, because it was an easy example. And by the way, customer service people are everywhere. and there are all sorts of people who service at cash registers and you know, different places. There are all sorts of people who we can speak into their life blessing. They're all around us. So everywhere I go, I can choose to bring the kingdom by choosing to connect and share instead of correct and scare. I don't have to intimidate this person to get them to help me. I don't have to give them a hard time. I don't have to push. I know they say the squeaky wheel gets the oil. But I don't know what oil it's getting because I want the Holy Ghost oil. That's what I want. If I live like a servant, I will reap a harvest of good service. God will be glorified, and I believe it makes his kingdom manifest on the earth. And it's the little things. So think of this. as we are practicing here, connecting with each other, and we get better at connecting here with each other, then we learn to connect and practice philoxenia, loving strangers. As we learn to love strangers and we connect to those strangers start to connect us. What are we carrying that they're actually connecting to? We're carrying the kingdom. Now they're connecting to the kingdom. As those connections begin to be made, opportunities begin to rise up. And pretty soon, they're asking us questions. Maybe they're asking us, you know, what do you think about this situation or that situation in my life? Because we've made a connection with them. And as we make those connections, then we can begin to pray over them and for them and talk to them and encourage them. And maybe we'll have an opportunity to truly minister something that is supernatural that they wouldn't even give us a chance to minister any other time. I'm not saying don't go out there and treasure hunt and look for people and try to find opportunities to pray for people. But I've told you, most of the time when I've offered to pray for a stranger at some place in town, you know, just come up to them out of the blue, most of the time they're nice about it, but some of them are apprehensive. I still remember the guy at Lowe's one day who was limping. And I said, boy, that looks like it hurts. And he goes, man, it's killing me. And I said, I think I know what we can do but to fix that. And he stops and he goes, I'd love anything that would work. I said, well, then let me pray for you. Oh, you're one of those guys. And he turns around and walks off. It wasn't super pleasant for me to have him just, rah, 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 and he limps off, actually. He didn't walk off. Maybe I should have said, fix it now, Lord. He got to walk. Wouldn't that have been great? I didn't think of it at the time. But most of the time, even if you do something that radical, people are happy. But what happens if they are actually the one talking to you and you've actually begun to build enough of a connection that somehow they're looking at you and they're like, you're not like other people. You're friendly to strangers. And then all of a sudden they're talking to you and they're willing to let you pray because, well, you've been a nice guy to me. You bought me coffee or you did this or you did that. And they're like, sure, go for it. I've told you I like to prophesy over waitresses because they really don't want to give me a lot of negativity if I'm about to give them a tip. But if I'm blessing somebody, it opens doors for the things that God wants to do through you and me. That makes sense? Yeah. Still, this is the safe place to practice right here. But once we start practicing here, then we can practice out there. You know, doctors are still practicing, right? After all they've learned, they still practice. They practice medicine. That means they don't have it figured out and it's not all perfect and they have to practice it. They have to try to figure it out. How many of you have had a doctor give you a pill and it didn't work very well and they switched your pill and then it worked better? This is what we do because they're practicing. They don't know exactly what's going to work. I'm just encouraging you to practice life. To practice life in Christ, to practice going out wherever you go and you run into somebody and you just kind of take a moment to connect. That's the base starting point. I connect to people, and as I connect to people, doors open. As doors open, then God gets a chance to do something amazing. So let's love the strangers in our midst, and then let's learn to love strangers who we really are strangers to, and we may be stranger than them. I just want you to be the one that carries out the practicing lifestyle. Good. We're going to pray. I want you to pray like this today. When I'm praying, think of somebody nearby you and think, oh, Lord, I'm so glad they heard this message. Boy, do they need it. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Tom's going to pray for my wife. Boy, does she need it. The reality is we all need this. I don't care how good you are. The greatest of all times, pick a sport. Those people practice. Because it's part of their preparation for what they're really going to do when they're in the game. And they're really practicing all the time, preparing all the time. Think of it that way. So, Father, work in us. We want to be those people through whom your Holy Spirit can move. And we know, Lord, that as we practice these things, as we reach out and connect to people and just take a moment to compliment them, to encourage them, to build them up, to stir them up for good things, to find the positivity in a negative situation. As we do those things, Lord, it opens doors for us to connect. And as we connect, it opens doors for your Spirit to move. And so, Lord, that's what we so desire, is for your Spirit to move through your people so that the world may know that there is an amazing God who loves them. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.